So whatever name you give it, whatever you call it, that one power is the power that we honor and we talk about, we look at here at the Center for Spiritual Living. And whatever name you give it, you are welcome and celebrated here at our center. We are a new thought center. We are a place that celebrates truth. We are focused on spiritual truth as a solution to all of our problems. And we use the spiritual truth of the science of mind to open us up to greater possibilities and greater ideas. So whoever you are, whatever your background, wherever you come from, we celebrate you. We do that because we know who you are. We know you are an expression of the divine. You are one of the names, one of the individual expressions of this divine that we talk so much about and that we are so aware that we're immersed in, that it provides us with all of the power we need for living. So we are excited about it, we celebrate it, and enjoy. We move on to our bigger and better things in our lives. We're not bound or limited by anything. Freedom is our birthright. So if you would join me in looking a little further at who we are and what we do, we believe in this because it is our truth. And so I'd like to read to you and invite you, if you'd like to read along, and share the Declaration of Principles, which you'll find on the screen, if not now, shortly. This is written by Dr. Ernest Holmes, our founder, and it says this: I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect law, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever expanding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. So one of my word slips that time was an oversight. The other one is the one of the ways that this was written in its more original form, and that's how I memorized it. So my apologies for not matching what's on the screen. However, the idea is the same, and the ideas are what carry us forward and bring us to our truth. We have within our organization a group of people known as practitioners, spiritual mind practitioners, science of mind practitioners. They go by a number of, like everything else, they go by different names. But their names indicate that they are folks who have studied this teaching, they've studied spiritual truth, and they've learned to use it for themselves and also to help other people, to work with other people, so that when you find yourself in a pickle or backed against a wall or needing some extra support, one or another of our practitioners or those can be there for you and with you and support you in using the power of this principle in your life. Each week we highlight one of those by asking them to share some good ideas with us and to also lead us in a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. So today we have fresh back in Atlanta from travels and a retreat out in the great state of Arkansas. So without further, I give you Lee Huffman.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everybody. There are so many things over the past few weeks that I could read about or talk about this morning, which really makes Bob nervous when I say that. But for example, the background that you see behind me, hopefully you can see it behind me, comes from an event that was one of the most fascinating events that I've ever participated in. A guy by the name of Tony Robbins, which some of you may have heard about, is an amazing educator and motivator, and he has trained millions of people in stadiums and arenas around the world. But because of COVID-19, he can't do that. So when you're used to putting 13,000 or 15,000 or 20,000 people into an arena, what do you do when you're limited to 10 or 25 or 50 people? So his team decided they were going to go online, just like with the technology that we're using today. The same technology that we're broadcasting with and talking through they put 23,000 computers together, and there were another 7,000 people sitting beside someone on one of those computers. So there were 30,000 people represented out of 130 countries around the world, all connected at once in an interactive meeting, and it was pretty phenomenal. And this behind me is a picture of just a small piece of what Tony had all around him in a theater and around. And I just thought it was fascinating. But I want to take, out of all the good teaching that was in that week or the 4 days, 60 hours worth of teaching, I want to take one part of it that he talked about. He said that this event could not have happened if it were not for COVID-19. And that was an interesting statement. It would not have happened if it wasn't for this pandemic that we're in, because he would still be teaching half as many people in arenas. And then he went on to say, things do not happen to us, they happen for us. You get that? Even this pandemic is working for the good of all of us. We may not see it, but it is. Things do not happen to us, it happens for us. Tony and his team set his mind to their mind to doing this, and there was never a thought in their minds that it could not happen. And so they just knew it would happen. They moved forward to make it happen, and there was hardly a glitch at all in the whole 60 hours of interactive conferencing that we had. So another example is that a friend of mine that some of you may know, a fellow practitioner, Liz Akers, technology is not working for me today, put up a quote on her Facebook site that said, from Buddha, that said, whatever a practitioner frankly thinks and ponders upon will become the inclination of the mind. Now, we call people like me practitioners because we've attended many years of Science of Mind and New Thought and metaphysics and things like that that Bob talked about. But we should call them, under one of the names, is a licensed practitioner, because we're licensed. That's the only difference. We're all practitioners. Everybody that can hear this message is a practitioner, whether they know it or not. They're practicing the thoughts that when they, as a practitioner, frequently ponder something and thinks about it, that will become the inclination of the mind. And so now in Science of Mind, what we believe is that there's only one mind. That mind, my mind, Reverend Bob's mind, and your mind are all the one mind that I believe that Buddha is speaking about here. So what are you frequently pondering? Liz said, I encourage you to notice what you're pondering and focusing on. We just said, as we read at the beginning of the service, all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. So what do you choose to think? What are you pondering on? I have an old friend that frequently got upset because they were thinking that they were going to get laid off from their job. And they were always stressed about it. And they had somebody around them that was able to pull them out of that and pull them off the ledge, a practitioner that could talk them out. And so if you have worries like that, we're there to do this. Unfortunately, they disconnected. And now, about 4 weeks ago, she lost her job because she constantly focused on, I'm going to be laid off, rather than constantly focusing on, I'm putting value in this company and they're not going to lay me off. And so it was interesting when she recognized that that was what was happening. So what are you constantly focusing on? I encourage you to notice that. We have licensed practitioners here at CSL Midtown who can help you. And some of them will be putting their contact information into the chat, so you can pick that up. And I'll do that after I get off here. But I encourage you, as Liz said, to notice what you're pondering and focusing on, because it does make a difference. So let's take a moment for a spiritual mind treatment. As Bob said, spiritual mind treatment is a form of affirmative prayer that helps us focus our mind and ponder what we desire and deserve. And that we can pull into our lives. We call these prayers treatments. We call them by many names, as Bob said. There's a lot of words that we use. But I want you to be comfortable right now. And I'm gonna do a spiritual mind treatment for you. Relax in your chair. uncross your legs. Let's take a slow, deep breath and hold it in. Let it out slowly. Breathe deeply again. Let it out slowly. And this will relax your body and your mind and get all the distractions out. When I say a treatment, I do it for the most part in the first person, so I'll say it for myself. And if it resonates with you, then say it for yourself in your mind. Well, even say it out loud, because we're all muted. If something does not connect with you, let it go. Ready? One more deep breath. Let it out, and know this with me if you will. I know that there is one mind, one power, one first cause to all things. That power is called by many names. Yahweh, Yeshua or Jesus, Spirit, the universe, Allah, God, Christ, many names, hundreds of them. In this treatment, I will call this power Source, because it is the source of all things. In the beginning, there was only Source, and everything that existed was part of Source. Out of pure love, Source decided to create a universe that I know now all around me. Source created this technology that I'm watching and sending out information on. It created this couch that I'm sitting on. It created me. It created all of those around me. But it has had nothing to create with, or no thing, as my friend and teacher told me many times, because there was no thing except Source. So out of itself, it created everything there is. It expanded itself, as Bob mentioned. It expanded itself, and everything became out of Source. So everything is in Source, and everything is Source. Source expanded and created stardust, and I am made of stardust. How could Source or anything created by Source be against me? It cannot do anything to me. It only does things for me. I know this is true. I say this treatment today so that I may remember this truth, that nothing in the world around me is happening to me. It is all happening for me. I know that Source, the Great Spirit, as it was known to my forefathers, will take me through this time of illness and uncertainty that is all around the world. Even this pandemic will create good things for me. All that I need to do is focus upon and ponder the good things that I desire. And then, when I get all other thoughts out of the way, I am ready to receive, and good things will manifest in life. For one moment, I'm going to sit here in silence and ponder what I desire next in life. I'll take this moment right now, and please do the same thing. Ponder what you desire in life. I will manifest work that is pleasing and profitable. I am manifesting amazing relationships. I'm manifesting and attracting abundance in my life. I am getting healthier every moment, and I find direction for my life. I know that all these things and even more are coming to me now. I know this is true because Source is true. All of these things that I ponder, I will manifest in my life as soon as I am ready to receive them. So I release these words of this treatment to the universe, knowing that Source is faithful and they will not return to me void. So I close this prayer now by saying together, and so it is. Thank you, everybody.
Wow. Thank you. I am free. If you get nothing else out of today, if you carried that as an affirmation, you would find your life definitely improved and definitely bringing forward to you more opportunities for freedom. Someone else who firmly believed he was free and who I want to tell you a little story about. He graduated from the University of Vienna at age 29. And a few years later, he was deep in working on his first book. He was also working in the world of psychoanalysis in the early days. And he believed very strongly that Freud wasn't quite right. And neither was Adler in believing that either will or the urge for ease and satisfaction were the primary motivations that move people. Instead, he believed that the desire to make meaning is what moved people. And he believed because of that, and because we have the power to make meaning, we can always find our freedom. In 1941, he was arrested, taken into the concentration camps. He sewed into his jacket the manuscript for his book that he'd been working on. And of course, the first thing that happened when he got into the camp was he lost his coat because they took all of those kinds of things away. But Viktor Frankl was not held back or limited by losing that manuscript. Over the next years, and the next 4 years, while he was incarcerated in that horrible place, enduring hardships that we cannot even imagine today, he was able to keep working on his thesis, his idea that what makes us human is our ability to make meaning out of life. He lectured late at night after the day's work was done and what little food they got was given to them, and they would be taken back to their barracks in the camps. He would lecture on a regular basis on the issues of psychoanalysis and the issues of human experience and human growth. And people would gather around. And one of his things he was most famous for saying is that you can incarcerate me, you can take away my freedoms on the outside, but you cannot imprison my mind. My mind, my thought, my ideas will always be free. He survived the camps. One of the things he said was the people that he saw that seemed to be able to hold on and endure it were those who could hold on to the idea that the freedom of their minds could not be taken away. That wasn't true across the board, of course, because many people did not have the physical freedom that made it possible. But he said, as long as you don't give up on life, as long as you stay engaged in life, as long as you choose to live, you have a better shot at going past all kinds of hardships. His life purpose was to complete and go forward with his ideas of how to make meaning and how to help others in making meaning. What we know and what he's pointing to and what he was talking about is that there's an idea behind all things, an idea, a feeling, a notion that this one power we talk about that is inherent in the very fabric of life, that is the very stuff, as Lee so well put, the source of which everything is created. You know, and it's like any kind of creative process. You can't pull out of the bag what isn't already there. You can't pull out of spirit what isn't already there. Creating out of spirit and nothing else, if there's a creation in there of freedom, if there's an expression anywhere in the universe of opportunity and activity and prosperity, then it has to have been contained within the source. So there is within all of us, there is within that infinite, a source that provides and expresses itself as freedom and has the potential for freedom. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Right Teaching, expressed it this way when he talked about this one thing, this power within us. He talked about it as the thing itself, and he described it this way. The first cause, spirit, mind, or the invisible essence. You notice our naming it many things. It goes back to our founder. That ultimate stuff and intelligence from which everything comes. The power back of creation. The thing itself. And he went to great lengths throughout the textbook and throughout all of his writings to continue to flesh out that idea and to bring forward for us the idea that there is a power within us that can work through us to bring us the greatest freedom and the greatest possibilities one can imagine. He went on to say in other place on page, in the Science of Mind textbook, the mind which we discover within us is the mind which governs everything. This is the thing itself, and we should recognize it in its simplicity. So it is the mind. It is the mind within us that is identified with that thing itself. That is how we connect with. Now, we're not talking about our little chatter mind, our ego mind that's telling us what's right and wrong and all those other things. But we're talking about a larger concept of mind, which encompasses mind, emotions, and visceral feelings. And all of that is part of a mental process in a given. Now, about, 2,500 or so years before that, someone else had this idea. The Chinese. And the Chinese talked about the Tao. Now, in 500 BCE, Lao Tzu compiled those thoughts and ideas into a small volume of 81 lessons. And in those, he describes what this something is. And he calls it the Tao. The book was called the Tao Te Ching. The Tao is like a well. It's used, but never used up. It's like an eternal void, filled with infinite possibilities. It is hidden, but always present. I don't know now who gave birth to it. It's older than God. The very idea of God grows out of this something that is so hard to describe. So one of our descriptions is God. It is an energy, a power, and it is always present with us. They were talking about this in 500 BCE. And in the thousands of years of development of that thought, they were very clear and articulate about how this power works and what it amounts to. And Ernest Holmes picked up those ideas and used those ideas as he was compiling our own science of mind. As with Lao Tzu, he didn't originate these ideas. He simply compiled them and brought them together. Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes, did not originate the ideas, but he compiled them and brought them together in a whole new way that has served us all quite well. Another thing that Lao Tzu said is that the Tao is called the Great Mother, empty yet inexhaustible. It gives birth to infinite worlds. It is always present within you. You can use it any way you want to. Now, I find it fascinating that our, quote, new thought is built on ancient wisdom. We often say this is a new thought, ancient wisdom teaching. And because that energy, that power is within us, it is always available to us to use freely and to use to manifest in our lives greater freedom than we've ever had before, used before. Granted, we are right now living in great restriction for many people. We have a virus running around and everybody has to wear masks, or they're supposed to, or they're asked to, depending on where you live and what you're going through at the time. And that's very frightening. We are waking up as a culture in a way we never have not done before to our history of restricting certain communities and certain people, both consciously, intentionally for some, or unconsciously for others, because we're so all wrapped up in this one system that has for so long restricted certain people, enslaved them no less. So all of this stuff is around us. And what I'm excited about is that this teaching, these ideas, the idea of the Tao, the idea of the thing itself, and the way they both work in our lives, and not both as in two separate things, but both ways of describing the same thing, provide us so much power and so much freedom to move beyond anything that has gone before, any expression that has seemed to restrict us or anyone else. For many people, it seems that our freedoms are threatened by our experience. But you know, the only real powerful and truly operative threat to our freedom is not out there. Just as Viktor Frankl said, you can't enslave my mind. The only way you can enslave my mind or your mind or anyone else's mind is if we choose it and allow it. And granted, sometimes that the idea of having a mind that always does what it's supposed to and done it in a certain way and according to a certain old pattern can be very appealing for people, especially in the midst of fearful kinds of experiences. Often we fall back to old ideas that used to serve us in hopes that they will serve us again. They'll take care of the uncomfort, the discomfort, the difficulty. And yet the truth is, it rarely does. It may give us more comfort, but in the long run, does it give us more freedom? Are we locked up, as the song said, in our own lack of forgiveness, in our own judgments of ourselves and other people? I have never judged anyone as fiercely as I judge myself. Sorry to admit it, but it's true. Of course, I'm sure you're probably happy about that, since I would judge me and not you. But we all do that. You know, most of us would not talk to anyone else the way we talk to ourselves. And for those of you who have moved past that, hallelujah, you're our hope for the future. Because you're talking to yourself in a way that you would talk to other people, which is positive and powerful, and opens the door to greater freedom and greater expression of the infinite. So true freedom is already present within us. It is the Tao, indescribable, the thing itself. I mean, how do you describe that? All of these are grasping at describing the indescribable. But it's present within us. We can't describe it, but we can utilize it. So greater freedom can come forward because it's always with us. And as Leap said very, very clearly from the Buddha, which is quite a bit later than the Tao, but built in many of the same ideas, that what you focus on, what you pay attention to, what you spend all of your time thinking about, where your consciousness, your atmospheric consciousness is, the things you think about and occupy you, those are the things which will determine how much of that freedom you experience in your real life, in your everyday, not your in your less than real life, but in your everyday experiences. That's where the power is. It's how we're thinking. You know, and that's the one thing no one else has control over but you and me. Let me share a Christian theologian with you. He's one of my favorites, and one who truly does embody much of this new thought idea, as he shares with many good ideas. Well, this is one from The Science of Mind. I'll skip over that right now, because Ernest Holmes says the path to freedom lies not through some mysterious occult sort of thing, but simply by the intelligent use of nature. Nature being our nature as expressions of the Spirit. But here's Howard Thurman. There is something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine, what's really real in yourself. You know what feels real and right and true for you. It's pulling at you. It's there. It is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will always, if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the end of strings that somebody else pulls. I don't know about you, but I've spent some time on that string, living and doing what I thought my parents wanted instead of what I wanted. Choosing ways of life that were not true to me, but were what I thought, what I accepted as the way it should be. Now, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to invite you to take a look at that. What strings are you dangling on? Who's pulling them? You know, the cool thing about strings is you have the power to detach from them, regardless of what the other end of the string is attached to. And sometimes that takes a little work and a little self-awareness and a little bit of clear looking at yourself. You are the thinker behind the thought is one of the really powerful ideas of this teaching. You know, thoughts are running in our head all the time. And sometimes it may feel like our thoughts just run away with us and we don't have a lot of control over them. But one of the things about recognizing that the Tao is present, the thing itself is present within you, is you can step back from yourself and recognize that you are the thinker. You're not the subject of the thought. You're not the one trapped in the thoughts you have. You're the thinker who can control and choose what thoughts you're going to use. You can choose your own path of thought and action, but usually it's thought first. We think before we act. Well, usually. I've made a few of those choices where I didn't think before I acted, and I paid the price for that. But when we act positively and powerfully, usually it comes out of a thought first. And so we think, and then we act. One of my all-time favorite quotes is this one. Joseph Campbell, the famous mythologist, the famous man who among others really helped us realize how we are creating our own world and creating our own stories and our own myths. He says, if you can see your path laid out in front of you, step by step, you know it's not your path. Your own path you make with every step you take. That's why it's your path. And I would say that steps not only in what you do, but more powerfully and importantly, the steps that you take in thought. What are you thinking next? Now, it may also be true that what you end up doing on that path looks just like somebody else's, or looks just like a direction someone else has taken. But if you're truly choosing those steps and taking them yourselves, it's only when you look back that you'll see, this sounds just like XYZ. It's only when you look back at your life that you can see what that's been like and where it's been. So I'd like to close by bringing us back and say that the way that we allow the divine within us, the Tao, the thing itself, to express freedom to us and through us is through our minds, our large minds, not our chatter minds. And according to what we focus on and what we accept, we can have as much freedom as we can embody, as we can take in. This year, a new book by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl died a few years ago at the ripe old age of 99. He died in 1997. So he, after coming out of the concentration camps, he wrote down and compiled, because he couldn't do that while he was in the camps, in the prisons. But he made a list. He compiled those talks he had been given and created a small volume, and he delivered them as lectures in 1946, which is shortly after he was set free. Those manuscripts were lost until this year, and they have been found at exactly the right time. And while it comes out of 1946, it offers an answer and a solution and a way to look at where we are today and the solution for you. And whether you ever read the book or not, the title of the book is what I want you to get. And that title is Say Yes to Life. Because as long as we are saying yes to life, then life has the opportunity. Spirit, the thing itself, the Tao, has the opportunity to create through us a greater experience than we've had before. It's only when we say no to life and we start shutting that down, we start closing out possibility and truth and livingness and falling into habits of detachment, habits of not even connecting and knowing what's going on around us, that things begin to deteriorate. So I challenge you, I invite you, I encourage you, for your sake and all the rest of us, say yes to life. Because you're wonderful, because you deserve that, and so do I. And so it is. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Karen Childs, one of our board members, who will talk to us about our prosperity and share some announcements.
Good morning, everybody. Karen Childs here. I am a member of our Board of Trustees, and you may have heard me in this segment from time to time, but just to remind you that I am reaffirming that there is joy in giving. So while we talk for just a second about prosperity, now that we are meeting online, we invite you to contribute to our this teaching's effort by going to our website and looking at the links there that will show you how to contribute, also via PayPal, or you can send a check to CSL Midtown, P.O. Box 14303, Atlanta, Georgia 30324, but that's available on our website if you didn't capture it as I quickly read it. And I think in the chat, there will be a link to contribute at the bottom of this page. So what does this money go for? Well, in addition to the nuts and bolts of our survival, your generous contributions help us expand our reach to a wider group of people, bringing this message of peace, freedom, health in this challenging time. So thank you to all of you who give so freely of your time, your talent, and your treasures. So if Vance will put up our affirmation for prosperity, please read it aloud if you like. I know you're muted, but it's sometimes interesting to hear the sound of your own voice on such a positive message. So read with me, affirmation for prosperity. As I live in a universe of abundance, as I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me abundantly. And so it is. Thanks, Vance. And now we have some, Now we have some announcements. August, our theme is inclusion in action. You can glance down through that, and I'll tell you a few more. I'll expand a moment on this virtual coffee session in a second. and to remind you that like-minded people are available to you on Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30, and there is the Zoom meeting ID. And it's a good opportunity for you to just connect, as I often say, when perspective seems to be in short supply. So you can go there just for a quick 30 minutes of reconnecting, finding the center of the circle if you are wobbling out of round that day, which can happen to us all pretty easily in this time. So ACS, on the subject of our new contribution system, ACS Realm is up and running on the website, and it is apparently extraordinarily user-friendly. So I would direct you to check that out as well. And Bob and Lee talked about our practitioners. These are really special people who understand, maybe better than we do ourselves, the nature of distraction and confusion and feelings of lack and fear that are happening through us and to us. But as Lee said, all this sort of misstep is really happening for us. So with regard to August coming up, those of you who've been around a little bit understood or remember that the first Sunday of every month, we had coffee afterwards, and it was a community building kind of a time, and we all had coffee and goodies, and while that's difficult to replicate here in this situation, the importance of it still remains. So next Sunday, the first Sunday in August, first Sundays we're going to repeat again, we're going to have after the celebration an opportunity to, for you to get your cookie or your sandwich or your cup of coffee or whatever it is, and stay with us for a few minutes after the celebration and get to know who else is on here. If you like, you can be anonymous, but the point is that we're going to try to provide a forum for people to just connect. But also, we understand that there are people who have said, we'd like an opportunity to discuss a few things. And so we will have a platform orchestrated by Dr. Bob that will allow us to not only connect with each other, but to discuss certain questions that those of you may have. So plan to spend a few minutes with us after the online celebration and next Sunday. For Sunday in August, for Sunday of the month, want to imprint that on you. And we'll be really grateful for your feedback about that. So, Dr. Bob, have I left anything out?
I think you covered it all. Thank you, and very well.
Oh, thank you very much. All right.
I would add that for those of you watching on Facebook, please share. And for those who are not watching on Facebook, when you open your Facebook account this afternoon, please go to the CSL Midtown page and then share this Facebook Live to your audience. Every bit of that sharing we get, we never know who might find some real value in what we're getting. And it's just brings a great value to you as well to give this away. If you find value in it, share it. It's a good way. It's a good practice, period. So I thank you for your participation and for being with us. If you will, join me in our closing affirmation of life. As you choose life, we affirm life. So I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create a life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.